I had never really done any real deep cops reporting before, so it was kind of trial by fire. My name is Andrew Goldstein. I'm a reporter with the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette. Basically, I cover all the kind of breaking news and mayhem that happens in Pittsburgh and the southwestern Pennsylvania region at night.
It takes a lot of my concentration to constantly think and rethink what I'm doing and to make sure that I'm not making assumptions or making decisions with less than the most complete information that I have. It's pretty intense for that block of time. My name is Tom Martin. I'm an emergency physician at UPMC Presbyterian Hospital in Pittsburgh.
I believe that bread stands alone. I may have a sandwich, but just eating a slice of bread is fine for me. I don't need to add anything to it, really. It's fine just like that for me. My name is Justin Bongiorni, and I'm the head baker at Allegra Hearth Bakery.
When you're working jobs that are $9 an hour and you have rent, bills, food, it doesn't leave much, you know what I mean? And there was a really, really tough stretch in there, man, and I was on that stretch. And you know, my wife and I were about to be evicted when I found this job. My name is Stephen Kelly. I am a union janitor, and I work at Gateway downtown Pittsburgh.
Hello, I'm Margaret J. Krause.
And I'm Kevin C. Brown. And you're listening to Still Working, a show about how work shapes who we are and how we see the world.
Our series was inspired by Chicago radio giant Studs Terkel and his book, Working. The subtitle is What People Do All Day and How They Feel About What They Do. That's exactly what we wanted to know, for our time and in our region.
Today, a reporter, an ER doctor, a baker, and a janitor. Four people who work at night.
The nature of emergency medicine is that you have to be all in from the minute you hit the door. It takes me 25 minutes to drive here, and maybe part of that is just trying to get your head in the game before you show up. I guess it's not that I'm thinking through specific things, but just sort of mentally preparing yourself to what could happen. If you walk through the department now at noon, there'd be 3 attendings, 8 residents, and it's just almost an overwhelming level of activity. So it's a different feel at night.
I am always keeping my eyes peeled, my ear to the ground. Not that I'm going to report on every single thing that happens, but a bad day for me is a day when I'm sitting there and trying to figure out, I better try to do something. I want to earn my paycheck versus just kind of sitting in front of my computer and looking at Twitter all day. And I'm guilty of that as much as anyone.
All 3 of my floors are very, very big, so I have to do what I call zone dusting and zone vacuuming, because I can't handle it all in one night. I clean up after almost 300 people, and it's just me. So usually at the beginning of my shift, I'm angry. Right? Because, I just cleaned that up yesterday. I just vacuumed under your desk yesterday, and now I come in tonight and look at it. Come on, man. And there's a couple of tenants that are just off the hook with it. Like, I'm like, dude, everything that goes in your mouth, why does it go on the floor? Do you do that at home? So, for a good maybe 2 hours into my night, I am angry, And they have their job to do. The tenants have their job to do. And I am not going to, I can't say to them, don't make a mess, because that's how I earn my money. Make a mess, I get paid, right? But, the other part of that is, do you have to make such a mess? You know what I mean? Like, you're killing me here. You know what I mean? But once I get past the first 2 hours, I'm okay.
Basically, what I do all night is just get bread through the oven. Loaves of bread, you know, just various. We do a lot of different types. So rolls, hoagies, all different types of things. But I would say around, depending on the orders, I mean, I would estimate between 200 to even maybe like 500 on a busy weekend days, like a Thursday or Friday night. I've been at this bakery for 12 years now, and I just don't get tired of seeing bread in the oven go from a dough stage to, you know, crusty and dark and just beautiful. When it comes out of the oven, it just never gets boring. It can be kind of serene, actually, you know, once everyone leaves and I'm just kind of able to work my bread through the oven. That's kind of peaceful.
That sound is a steam.
Wow. That's what PXI was reporting. But, my first week as the night cops reporter, first or second week, we had a house fire in Bellevue, and five people, a family of five, including three children, lost their lives. You just can't understand these type of things, why they happen. I realize I don't have any control over these things, and I realize I'm almost always there in the aftermath of these type of situations, but it's different when you're watching it on TV or reading it in a newspaper versus when you're actually there seeing it, seeing these people. When you can look in someone's eyes and talk to them and ask about how they're feeling, it's a completely different world view.
And I remember getting my first paycheck, and I went into the employer's office, and I said to him, "Is there a mistake?" And he was like, "No, there's no mistake." I'm like, "I get this every week?" He was like, "Yeah, this is a union job." I continue to be blown away by just simply that part of it. But unions are more than just people fighting for their own wages and benefits. It's about uplifting the city, the community, so that everybody gets a fair shake. You know what I mean? And I like that idea. For me, it's like, okay, I got mine. Now let me help you get yours. Why can't your every average day guy who gets up and goes to work 40 hours a week, just like I do, be able to pay his bills? And not just pay his bills, but have something left. Because that's the important part, right? Having something left to go do what you want to do with it. Like, I have 10 guitars. Night work, for me, my main thought is music. It's my heart. It's my passion, right? So, like, I'll just be, like, walking around singing or whatever, looking like, I know what I must look like on the camera, but I don't care. You know?
I guess I always have the radio on. You know, I listen to some, like, sports talk type play. Radio at night, which is really kind of like guys that are on the same shift as me, so I can almost relate to them and, you know, their stories and how they talk about their families the same way. So I guess that keeps me occupied, or sometimes I'll just shut the radio off and just kind of like be with my thoughts and do my, you know, bake my bread. You know, working at night is, it can be hard to get used to, but I've been doing it for so long that it's just kind of our life now. My wife actually works at the bakery too. She does pastries during the day. So we work opposite shifts. It has been good for us, like, because we've been able to raise our son without, you know, daycare or anything. We just don't see each other as much, but it's a luxury that I do something that I like, but work is just part of, I guess I grew up in a blue collar family, and you know, you go to work and you do your job, and I guess, kind of ingrained in me.
A lot of the things that I do is because I have a little Steven. And this guy is the driving force behind me wanting to change the world. And, you know, I think every dad asks their kid, you know, what do you want to be? So I turned to him, I said, Steve, what do you want to be when you get up, when you grow up? He said, I want to be an architect. And I looked at him, I said, do you know how much money that is, man? Like, you will be paid, dog. And he looked at me, he said, Dad, it ain't about the money. I just want the love. And that's what I mean for him to have. I want you to have all the love. And I want this world to be right for you when it is time for you to stand up and take your place in it. And if I have to stand out there and scream and yell at the powers that be, I want it there. I want that path open for him.
I still really love what I do. I think emergency medicine, you have this exposure to the entire breadth of the challenges that a patient faces. And so you have the challenge of trying to figure out what's wrong, and then to also figure out what their needs are, not only their medical needs, but often, you know, the kind of social supports that they need at the same time. I think in medicine, sometimes you focus on the medicine. And we lose sight of the fact that it's a big deal that this person fell and broke their leg, or it's a big deal to this person that they're going to miss a day of work, or they're going to be away from their family. And I think if you can acknowledge that and let them know that you see them as something more than their illness or their problem, sometimes it lets people take a deep breath and trust you a little bit. I can remember a night maybe 15 years ago, and it was a patient that had end-stage congestive heart failure, and the woman had decided that she was not, she had come in several times in a row and had to have a breathing tube put in, and she had decided that she was not going to do that anymore. And so she came in, and it was obvious that this was going to be the moment, and she came in with her husband. I guess I'm a little bit more tired than I thought.
A lot of times when I go home at night, there are things that I think about that aren't easy to process. And I've done this for long enough now where I'm able to just kind of put it on the back burner and move on, because I realize that this is a process that every day I'm going to have to continually talk to people who have had tragic situations happen to them. There are things that stick with you, whether it's an image in your head or something that someone said, or even the way that someone phrased something. I think, honestly, sometimes being desensitized or cynical helps us cope. Really just kind of helps us keep a little bit of a shield up, so that every day we're not getting so emotionally involved in every single thing that happens.
We're part of the community here, and people come and get their bread every day or two, and it's kind of an old, I don't know, you just don't see that a lot, I guess, like a community bakery. It feels great when I can look at all the bread I baked at the end of the night and just be proud of, like, what I've made. I'm actually creating something every day that people are going to enjoy.
I'm kind of a dichotomy. I love people, but I don't want to be around people. You know what I mean?
You know, I always like talking to people. It's, you know, putting together a story is basically just talking to all the relevant people, trying to collect as much information as possible, and not only tell people what happened, but really kind of looking ahead and saying what this could mean.
I keep a log of mistakes that I've made, and just to go back through them over and over to make sure that you don't make, hopefully don't make the same mistake twice. you don't need to worry about the things that went right. It's the things that went wrong that you need to remember. And I think that's part of the fun of each night. You know, it's a chance to go back and maybe do it a little bit better the next time.
Do I see myself doing this 10 years from now? I want to be getting paid to play music. But one of my union brothers sent me a text, and just a little snippet of the text. It was like, you're a good guitar player, but I don't know if you'll ever be as good at that as you are at being a member of this union. Because I do a lot. And I love what I do. So if I am doing it 10 years from now, am I a failure? No, not at all. Not at all.
Still Working is Margaret J. Krause and me, Kevin C. Brown, with funding help from the A.W. Mellon Educational and Charitable Trust Fund of the Pittsburgh Foundation. For more information, to hear other stories throughout the month, see photos, and subscribe to our iTunes podcast feed, visit wesa.fm/stillworking.
Next time, bar work. Thanks for listening to Still Working.